grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather here on this third Sunday in the season of Lent to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A hearty welcome to all of you who are here this morning. Glad that you are all here. Glad that we have this opportunity to be here at this time and this hour to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please make sure that you read your bulletin so that you can stay abreast of what is happening here at Awnee Presbyterian Church. We will resume Bible study this Wednesday, so please come out for that. We are in the midst of our book, Meeting Jesus at the Table, so that will be at 6:30 this coming Wednesday. But please make sure you read your bulletin to stay abreast of all that is happening here at Awnee Presbyterian Church.
Our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 5 through 42. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and so Jesus, wearied as he was with his journey, sat down beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food.
The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans."
Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself and his sons and his cattle?"
Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. The water that I shall give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life."
The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst nor come here to draw."
Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here."
The woman answered, "I have no husband."
Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and he whom you now have is not your husband. This you said truly."
The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship?"
Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such the Father seeks to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth."
The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When he comes, he will show us all things."
Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he."
Just then his disciples came. They marveled that he was talking with a woman, but none said, "What do you wish?" or "Why are you talking with her?" So the woman left her jar, her water jar, and went away into the city and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me all that I ever did. Can this be the Christ?" They went out of the city and were coming to him.
Meanwhile, the disciples besought him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." So the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him food?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do not say, 'There are yet 4 months, then comes the harvest.' I tell you, lift up your eyes and see how the fields are already white for harvest. He who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you do not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor."
Many Samaritans from the city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told them all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them. And he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of your words that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is indeed the Savior of the world." This is the word of the Lord.
Our gospel reading this morning is one of my favorites. It's one of my favorite readings and one of my favorite gospels. The story of the woman at the well. It is the longest recorded conversation that Jesus has with anyone in the New Testament. And he has it not with any of his close disciples, but he has it with this woman, a woman who shows up at Jacob's well as Jesus was resting there in the heat of the noonday sun. We don't know this woman's name. We are not told her name in the text, but we know a lot about her. First of all, we know that she is a Samaritan, which means that for most Jews, this woman was a consummate outsider. Last week, we read where Jesus had a conversation with a consummate insider. He had a conversation with Nicodemus, and you'll remember Nicodemus was a man. He was a leader of the people of Israel, a teacher, a Pharisee. He was a Jew among Jews. You don't get any more insidery than Nicodemus. And yet Nicodemus would approach Jesus for a conversation in the midst of the night, under the cover of darkness. But now it's high noon at Jacob's well, and Jesus finds himself engaged in another conversation, the conversation with this Samaritan woman. And I should say that in the Bible, the well was a place where boy meets girl. It's the place where Moses meets his wife Zipporah. It happens at the well. The well is the place where Abraham sends his servant to find a wife for his son Isaac. Isaac's wife was Rebekah, who was found at the well. And of course, it's the place where Jacob first lays eyes on his future wife, the beautiful Rachel. So if you were a first century Jew reading this story for the first time and you read where Jesus is sitting at the well and then this woman comes, you would immediately think that this is a coming together story. This is a story of marriage. This is the story of boy meets girl. This is a coming together story, but there's just one problem, of course, and the problem is that this woman is a Samaritan woman. All of you Sunday school veterans know that Jews and Samaritans didn't like each other. In fact, they downright despised each other, in part because they contested a common tradition. Samaritans were descendants of the northern 10 tribes of Israel that were conquered and colonized 700 years before Jesus. And over the years, they sort of intermingled with the people who colonized them. And so many Jews considered them to be impure, considered them to be unclean, considered them to be something other than God's people. But the Samaritans worshiped the same God that Jews worship. They read the same Bible that Jews read. They expressed the same hope. They were waiting for the same Messiah. In just about every other way, they were quite similar to Jews. Perhaps you've noticed how often it's the people who are closest to us, people who we often have a lot in common with, who we often despise, who we often dislike, who we often find ourselves in some kind of contested enmity with. I wonder what people will say about us Christians many, many years from now when they observe how we Christians often don't get along. Protestants against Catholics, and even us Protestants fight each other. We're alike in so many ways, but Lutherans don't like Presbyterians, and Presbyterians don't like Baptists or Methodists, and we fight and fight. And it's quite interesting, because we have far more in common than we have in the differences that divide us, and yet we fight amongst each other. And even now, those denominational differences don't make much register very far anymore. What divides us is the fact that we are divided in so many other ways. Conservative Christians and progressive Christians, we fight all the time. But the fact is that Jews and Samaritans didn't like each other very much. And that was true as Jesus sits here at Jacob's well. But it's noontime at Jacob's well, high noon. And Jesus is sitting at the well as this woman approaches. And of course, in the ancient world, men and women didn't talk with each other. It would have been a scandal for a single man and a single woman to talk with each other. But this woman comes to the well. And we can imagine this woman coming, trying to avoid eye contact with this strange man who is resting there. We can imagine what she might be thinking as she cautiously approaches the well. Who is this strange man, and what is he doing here? He has no bucket. What does he want? He's dressed like a Jew, and Jews and Samaritans don't get along. What does this man want? And we can just see her going up to the well, trying not to make eye contact. But even though she tries not to see Jesus, Jesus sees her, and he acknowledges her. Jesus not only sees her, but he asks her for a drink of water, the basic sustenance of life. Which is interesting, that Jesus is not only God with us, but he is also a human being. He got thirsty like we get thirsty. He got hungry like we get hungry. And so as this woman approaches, that's what Jesus asks her for: some water, the basic sustenance of life. Give me a drink. And the woman replies by pointing out their differences. Why are you, a Jew, asking me, a Samaritan, for a drink? Don't you know that Jews and Samaritans don't have anything to do with each other? We don't talk with each other. We don't acknowledge each other. We have totally separate lives. You have your water fountains and we have ours. You have your side of town and we have our side of town. You have your churches and we have our churches. This is the way it is. This is the way it has been. This is the way it will always be. So why in the world would you ask me, a Samaritan woman, to give you, a Jew, a drink? But Jesus asked because he is thirsty. Not just physically thirsty, not just thirsty for water, but he is thirsty for her. He is thirsty for this Samaritan woman. He is thirsty for the Samaritan people. He is thirsty for all of us. He is thirsty for you, and he is thirsty for me. Jesus has this deep thirst inside of himself for the whole world. The whole world he thirsts for, that it might be saved. In fact, we are told earlier in the chapter that Jesus had to go through Samaria. He'd been traveling in Judea, and he is on his way to Galilee, and he had to go through Samaria. And he doesn't have to go through Samaria in order to reach Galilee. Many Jews refused to go through Samaria. They went around Samaria in order to get to Galilee. But I believe that Jesus had to go through Samaria because the Samaritan people were there. He had to go through Samaria because he wanted to see this Samaritan woman. Jesus had to go through Samaria because he had this deep thirst for the people of Samaria. Have you ever had a deep thirst for someone? Have you ever had a deep thirst to serve God's people because God has a deep thirst for them? I remember when living in Atlanta, there was a large church located in a seedy part of town. And of course, the church decided that because that part of town was less than desirable, that it would move and go to the suburbs. And so that's what it did. They closed the church, sold the church, and they built a brand new church out in the suburbs. But I always thought that their original location was a wonderful opportunity to serve God's people, was a wonderful opportunity to have a thirst for the kinds of people that God has a thirst for, to have a thirst for the kind of communities that God has a thirst for. And that's what Jesus has for this Samaritan woman. He has this thirst for her, and a thirst for her people. But Jesus tells the woman, if you only knew who it was who is asking you for a drink of water, then you would be asking me for water. I have water that you need. I have the living water. I have the water that once you drink it, once you taste it and feel it bubbling up inside of you, you will never be thirsty again. I have the water that you need. I have the water of life. But like Nicodemus, the woman takes Jesus literally. Give me some of that water where I will never thirst again. Give me some of that water where I'll never have to come back to the well, where I'll never have to travel in the hot sun. Give me some of that water. Give me some of the water of life. But Jesus, of course, isn't speaking literally, but he is speaking spiritually. Because Jesus understands that we are all thirsty. We're all thirsty for God's grace. We're all thirsty for God's love. We're all thirsty for God's life-giving spirit. We all have these parched places deep down inside of us, places of pain, places of hurt, places of sorrow and disappointment, places of lovelessness. We try to slack that thirst with all kinds of things. All kinds of dead water, you might say. We try to slack it with money. We try to slack it with relationships. We try to slack it with drugs or alcohol, but none of it works because we were made for God. Our souls will not rest until they rest in God, as Augustine reminds us. We've all seen those situations, celebrities, movie stars, sports heroes. They have everything that anybody could want. They have money, they have celebrity, they have all the material accoutrements that anyone could want, and yet again and again, they often melt down because they're looking for something. They have this deep thirst. And nothing that they have can fill that thirst, can slack that thirst. Because the thirst that they have is a thirst for the living water. It's a thirst for God's holy presence, for God's Holy Spirit, a thirst for God, God's self. Jesus knows that this woman is thirsty. So he tells her to go and get her husband. And the woman says that she has no husband. And Jesus says, indeed, you've spoken right. You have no husband. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with now is not your husband. And we have to be sort of careful here, because oftentimes when we read that, we have interpreted that this woman was somehow sinful, or this woman was somehow immoral. But there's nothing in the text that says anything like that. There's nothing in the text that even suggests that. All the text says is that this woman has had five husbands. And there's lots of reasons why a woman could have had five husbands. She could have been widowed. She could have been abandoned. She could have been divorced. We don't know what the situation is. All we know is that again and again and again, this woman has found herself in a situation, a desperate situation, where she is alone in a world where a woman needed a man in order to survive. And so this story is not so much about this woman's sin, but it's about her pain. It's about her tragedy. It's about how desperate she is. But Jesus doesn't use this information that he knows about her in order to make her feel bad, but he uses it as a form of bringing her closer to him. And that's true for all of us. Jesus knows everything about us. He knows everything percolating inside of our hearts. He knows everything about our past. He knows all of those things which we might be embarrassed about. He knows all of those details that we might try to cover up. He knows everything about us. Of course, most of us don't want anybody knowing everything about us. A lot of people put things on Facebook, and that's what I would want Jesus to know. I'd want Jesus to know just what I put on Facebook. Or I want Jesus to know just what I put on my resume or what have you. But Jesus knows everything about us. And he knows everything about this woman. But he uses it for for her healing. He can sense the deep thirst that she has inside, the thirst for companionship, the thirst for security, the thirst for help, the thirst to ease her pain. And he feels that thirst, and so he wants to bring this woman close to himself. And this woman can perceive that Jesus is some kind of prophet. "Sir," she says, "I perceive that you are a prophet, but I know that when the Messiah comes, he will tell me all things. Your people say that we worship here on this location, and my people say we worship at this location, but when the Messiah comes, he's going to tell us everything." And Jesus says, "I am he. The time is coming when you won't worship at this location or at that location. The time is coming when you won't worship in this mountain or at that mountain. The time is coming when you won't just worship in a Presbyterian church or a Methodist church. The time is coming when it won't make any difference whether you are a conservative Christian or a liberal Christian. The time is coming when it won't make any difference whether you belong to a black church or a white church. The time is coming when you will worship God in spirit and in truth." Because that's what ultimately matters. And this woman leaves her bucket, and she goes running to her people to proclaim the good news that she has received. This story is indeed a story about reconciliation. It's a story about the coming together of people who are in enmity with each other, Jews and Samaritans. It is about what Jesus told Nicodemus last week, that God loves the whole world, not just Jews, but God loves the whole world. And so even these Samaritans are being invited into the domain of God's grace. We're reminded that none of us are worthy. None of us are worthy of God's grace, whether we think we are people who are insiders, or whether we feel that we are outsiders. None of us are worthy, but God loves the world. God loves all of us. He loves you, and God loves me, and God wants us to have that living water. That living water bubbling up inside of us, that living water that draws us closer to him. I like the fact that this woman goes and she goes to be an evangelist. Jesus doesn't tell her to go to preach to anyone, but she goes and she preaches. She is one of the first evangelists, and she goes back into her people and she proclaimed the good news. Come and see this man who's told me everything about myself. Come and see this man who has told me about my life. Come and see this man who has seen me. This Samaritan woman. Could he be the one that we're all looking for? Could he be the Messiah? And indeed, the people go and see for themselves the Samaritans, and they say, we believe. We no longer believe just because you have told us, but we now believe because we've experienced him for ourselves. We've experienced the love of God for ourselves. Even we Samaritans have experienced God's love for ourselves. And that's for you and me as well. We too have experienced God's love. We too have God's spirit, the water of life bubbling deep down inside of our hearts. And we too are called to go out into the midst of a thirsty world. We're called to go out into a midst of a thirsty world, go out into a midst of a thirsty city, go out into a midst of thirsty neighborhoods where people need to hear and to know that good news, to hear and know the good news that God loves them. And so all of us are being invited this morning to Jacob's Well. We're being invited to go to that place where we will meet Jesus. And we're being invited to go to that place where we will meet others, thirsty people seeking water, the water of life. And we are called to proclaim the good news of what we know, the good news of this God who knows us, knows everything about us, knows our ups and downs, knows our strengths, our weaknesses, knows our misgivings, knows our embarrassments, knows everything about us, and yet reminds us that we are loved despite our past, that we are loved by God, and that we can go forth and share that love with each other. I said earlier that this woman didn't have a name, but that doesn't stop us from giving her a name. In the Greek Orthodox tradition, this woman is given the name Photine, which means the illuminated one, the one who's been illumined. Unlike Nicodemus, this woman comes to Jesus in the light of day, and she leaves illumined. She leaves with the truth. The truth of God's love for her and her people. And she goes out and to proclaim that good news. May we too know that truth, that God loves the world. And that includes you and me and all of us Samaritans. May you accept that love this morning as we continue to make our way with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as he makes his way to his cross. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you this morning. We thank you this morning for reminding us of your gracious love for all of us. We ask that you will empower us too to go out into the world to love your people wherever we might find them. You have brought us all together. You have called us all together in the midst of all of our divisions. You have reconciled us, and you are calling us to be reconciled over and against all the ways that we divide ourselves. Help us to overcome those barriers. Help us to know that you want nothing more than that we be your people, people filled with your living water, so that we can bear witness to your goodness and the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus to Christ. And it's in his name that we pray here this morning. Amen.